o'clock hour
of Wilde and Tausch begins now. Taking your calls and your texts on the Carbless Tuck and text line, 844-770-3776. We'll get to Mike and Fox Point's call in a second, but first let's get to a text, Jesse, that jumped out at you on the Carbless Talk and text line.
So I'm seeing different variations of this on the text line. I'm seeing it in our YouTube comments when I'm cautiously combing through those. Dale in West Bend.
Cautiously.
Dale in West Bend is not...
Why are you combing through them cautiously,
because I'm a little scared of the YouTube comments sometimes.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Dale in West Bend does not speak only for himself. This is the best text of many representing this sentiment. It seems like we've been hearing for the last couple of years the Packers just weren't up for the game or some version of that. The head coach being pissed doesn't seem to fix anything. Is it time to question how the head coach's lack of enthusiasm affects the team?
All right, I want Tausch to answer this, but I have something to say first. I help me understand, Mark Tauscher. The whole we were flat, we didn't come to play, we weren't up for the game. How often does that actually happen? And how often do you just execute poorly, and it's not that you didn't care, it's not that you didn't try, you just sucked? Can you help me understand that? Because that always feels like the cop-out, and I find it hard to believe. Maybe in preseason, that's one area where maybe you aren't up for the game. But like when you have a bad game in the regular season, how often is it that you came and you didn't come to play? They just wanted it more than we did. How often does that really happen?
So I would say it's much more like a chicken and egg deal, that conversation. I think you always prepare, and there are games that you're naturally going to be more you're going to be up more for. If it's the Chiefs coming into town or the Lions and you're trying to win back the division, there are going to be some games you only have so much emotional capital to spend. You don't have 17 weeks of it. I know fans want to think that you're gonna be running that engine hot 17 straight weeks. Well, you know, if you do that, I mean, God bless you if you can, but that's not it. So I don't think it's more of sometimes there's a team that will come in that has that, and especially as you're wearing a G on your helmet, and at Lambeau, teams are coming in, you're going to be their big game, and you have to match that and exceed it from an intensity standpoint. So it's more about, I think, you go out, and if you're executing, things can come somewhat easier. And when that happens, I think you can get that ball rolling and you can go. But there are some games that it's just you. That's why when I always say, don't ever apologize for winning, because when you have 17 of them, there's going to be some games you're just not as sharp. And you have to – do I think there's games that guys just say, I don't care and all this? No, that's not how it goes. But are there games where you go out there and maybe there's just not the same energy? Maybe guys are a little banged up. Maybe you just had – that's why you always look at, you know, how Las Vegas looks at it. They put in sometimes, if you have a 2 or 3 game losing streak, you know, the whole, well, caged animals and backed up against the wall. There is something to that. You try and harness that for every game, but yeah, I am not of the belief that guys just come out and there's times that the games just start slow. You don't get a couple first downs, and I know this for sure. As an offense, if you can get off to a fast start, everything starts a little bit easier. You don't feel press. When you go 3 and out the first couple times and you kind of hear that murmur in the crowd, you do start pressing a little bit. And when you start pressing, that's when you get in trouble. So that would be, I guess, the way I would look at it, much more than, oh, you're flat and everything else. Coach only's got so many Newt Rockneys in him. If you're Newt Rockney in every blanking game, and by the way, Newt Rockney, half the guys in that locker room when he was giving that speech, win one for the Gipper, they're half asleep. So let's not get caught up on all this. You can harness that for a couple of games, and that's great. But for the most part, this game is about executing and when you can execute at a high level, That's what brings that energy to the table, not typically the other way around.
Let's get to a call, 844-770-3776. Let's talk to Mike in Fox Point. Mike, good morning. Welcome to Woldy and Tausch.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Kind of a follow-on to the discussion you're just having. I noticed that it stood out to me when LaFleur said after the preseason game, we played uninspired football, or something to that effect, I believe. Isn't that on Matt and the coach, though? If it's how many... They came out flat, they came out uninspired. So I just wonder, like, we've heard this time and time again after games, and we've talked about the slow starts, and, you know, I just wonder if the Aaron Rodgers teams, the veteran-laden groups, kind of mask that a little bit, and... You know, I get Tausch's point of, you know, you can only rah-rah so much and it's about execution, but isn't it with a younger team like this that that kind of matters more, where the emotions do sway and you need a little bit more of that juice for the team? I feel like it's a pattern now, and I'm just curious your thoughts on that.
So that's a good question, Mike, and we appreciate the call. So, Tausch, do you think young players, their focus, their being up for the game, whatever kind of hard to define thing that is when you come out flat, do you think that ebbs and flows more with young players because they just don't know how to? And by the way, these guys aren't that young anymore. You got a bunch of guys in year three and year four. It's not like they're all rookies and
what,
second year guys.
Crashers? We're not that young. We're just a couple of young kids.
Motorboat.
It does ebb and flow. I think for older players, you kind of understand how these things go, and you don't give in. You just keep fighting. You'll keep saying, "Hey, it's gonna work," and you have that belief. And I think younger players feed off of that more. When things are going good early, they feed off of that, and everybody's jacked up, and when it doesn't, you can get guys maybe putting their dauber down a little bit, and then they press, and that. You as a football player, when you start pressing, bad things happen. Mm-hmm. You try not to get into that category. And that's when you see a Mecole Hardman, who's not a young player.
Seventh year.
When you start doing things outside of your comfort zone because you want to provide a spark or you want to do something, that's when you get into trouble. And that's when you end up – that's when things go off the rails. And that's what I think we saw a little bit of that on Saturday night.
How did your prize picks play out in preseason?
Well, I'll tell you what, preseason football is underway and college football is here, so don't miss any of the action this season on Prize Picks. And you know what? Prize Picks is simple to play. More or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections. If you get your picks right, you cash in and win up to 2,000 times your money. And Prize Picks is the best way to get action on sports in more than 40 states, including the great old state of Wisconsin, California, Texas, blah, and Georgia. Prize Picks puts their members first, so all withdrawals are fast and safe and secure. Prize Picks now offers Venmo, Apple Pay, MasterCard, and more for quick and easy deposits into your account this football season. Prize Picks invented the flex play, which means you can still cash out if your lineup isn't perfect. You can double your money even if your pick doesn't hit. The best way to win real money this football season? Well, that's Prize Picks. Which players are going to go out? Which ones aren't? You make your picks in less than 60 seconds, and you can turn your sports opinions into real money all season long on Prize Picks. Download the Prize Picks app today. Use that code WI for the great old state of Wisconsin. It's a fun time to get in. Right now, $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Again, code WI to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, run your game.
Good to know they haven't changed the tagline. Gary in La Crosse will get to your call next. That's Woldy and Tausch.
This is Woldy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio. We'll be right back.
we got our guy Jeff Levering, who has been kind enough to agree to join us. We are not on the same list that Jeff Passan has, which we're also not on. Do not answer under any circumstances. But let's get a call in first, and then we'll get back to the Packers after we talk to Jeff, or what do you call him? Levo? Levo, that's what Levo. You've gone with?
Yeah.
Are you the only one who calls him that? I'm going to have to ask him.
I think everybody calls him that.
I'll find out. I'll ask him. And I'm going to ask Gary in La Crosse why he disagrees with everything we've been saying. Gary, good morning. Welcome to the show. How you doing?
Oh, I'm an old man just listening to talking about football. I mean, I've been around since Lombardi days and you name it. And I don't buy the excuses they give these players nowadays. I mean, for one thing, we need to buy about 40 gallons of Stick'Em and dip our players in it so they don't drop the balls anymore.
That's fair.
That's one of the bad things. I mean, if you're making $20 million a year or $10 million a year as a receiver, you don't drop footballs.
Don Hutson never dropped passes, right, Gary?
Good morning. All right, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Yeah.
Okay.
Don Hutson never dropped balls, right? What's happening to Gary?
I'm not sure. I think he might have his radio on in the background. That might be part of what's going on there.
Okay. Well, Gary would like to see fewer drop passes. I don't blame him for that. Are we making excuses? Is Gary right about his assessment of what we're talking about here?
I think we've got Gary back, by the way.
Gary, are you back with us?
I'm right here.
All right, I won't make any more Don Hutson jokes. You can just continue.
Yeah, that fell
flat. Well, I don't mean Don Hutson. I mean, you watch players that made a lot less money than these guys. The guys for Green Bay when Jordy Nelson and all those guys, they didn't drop footballs. No matter where the ball was thrown, they dug it up. These guys nowadays, you need to put Stick'Em on them and dip them in Stick'Em so they can hang on to the ball one way or another, on their head, on their body, on their knee, you know, where they could catch it. And the other thing, I mean, I'm an old man, so I look at it old-style football, you know, because I played myself. But to say that, well, maybe they don't feel like playing today or march up today, you know, when you get that kind of money, you play hard every day. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Gary, what do you think when you watched Saturday night? What did you think this was just lack of intensity? What did you take away from that game Saturday
When I watched Lombardi and the team play preseason games, they played as hard in preseason as they did regular season. They didn't decide, I just don't feel good today. All that money's weighing down my wallet. I can't run too fast because I got so much money in my pants. I mean, you know, guys would kill themselves to make this kind of money and not drop. I mean, the biggest thing for me is dropping footballs. Like I said, there's no excuse for that.
It's a concern, no doubt. No doubt about it.
I mean, they're good ball. Don't get me wrong, they're good ball players, but I mean, Jesus Christ, when you're making that kind of money, a simple pass, you don't drop it. I don't know how you guys agree about that. Guy on the left is having a good time, Wisconsin. But I just think sometimes I don't think these players play hard enough. Not all of them. Not all of them. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. But just some. You know, I don't. You know, when I watch them, when the ball's right in their hands and they still drop it. I mean, what do you guys think?
All right. First of all, I love that Gary's watching on YouTube, because even though he keeps saying he's an old man,
the weather there,
he's watching the video feed. I love it. That's awesome. Second.
Yes.
He's made his point very clear about drops, and he has every right to be exasperated by that, because they were third in the league last year in drops, and then they come out, and Julian Hicks had one, Romeo Dobbs had one. I think I had them for four total drops, which, again, when you don't throw the ball all that much and you don't have a lot of possessions, That's bad. So I don't disagree with that. Again, from a whether or not they were trying hard or focused, I don't know about that. But they did. They played like crap. We all agree on that. The question I have for Gary and everyone else is this something that should worry you, or should it just be a blip on the radar?
I think from Gary's perspective, and what I gleaned from Gary, obviously he's an old school cat, Lombardi. He didn't think your Hudson joke was great. I don't know if he even got it.
I'm not sure he heard it.
I think he poo pooed it.
Can you guys hear me?
Which I like.
Wasn't your best.
I think the question that he and other Packer fans have is, where is the intensity and where is the urgency? We didn't see that. When you have issues that happened last year and kept you from getting to the goals you wanted, you want to see that rectified the next season. You want to see that get rectified. And I think from his and some other fans' perspectives, when you see that same thing creeping up, coaches always tell you, don't, as a player, don't make the same mistake twice. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many times you hear that. That is what gets you cut. That's what gets you no trust from the staff. Mm-hmm. And I think from a fan standpoint, we're just looking at saying, well, you know, we draft a kid. We draft two kids. You know, young players that are going to come in here. The receiving core needed to be better. And I think for the small sample size we saw on Saturday, the same old problems reoccurred. And that irritates all fans, but I think especially old school fans that are used to. By the way, Jordy Nelson dropped passes. I hate to tell you. James Jones dropped passes. Other guys did, but you started seeing it happen less and less and less as they progressed. And that's what we're hoping to see based off of where we didn't see that Saturday. We hope that that goes away. But until it does, it continues to be a problem.
Jeff Levering was at American Family Field. Tausch is going to tell us about American Family Insurance before we talk to Levo.
Indeed, it is training camp, and you know that means Dream Drive is back and rolling. And thanks to American Family Insurance, young fans can ride bikes to and fro practice alongside their favorite players and coaches, creating unforgettable moments on two wheels. And there's fun for the whole family as well. You can play games, soak up the sun, kick back in the shade. Don't forget the exclusive Packers giveaways, take-home sunglasses, bucket hats, water bottles, and more. Jason, you need to get one of those bucket hats when you're healthy enough to get back out on the sideline, which might be in a while. It's a Packers tradition you don't want to miss. Sponsored by American Family Insurance. Dream fearlessly, insure carefully.
Private talk and text line. Private talk and text line from my friend Will. The Don Hudson joke was freaking hilarious. Yeah, I just think it fell on deaf ears. I don't think anybody heard it. We're going to hear from Jeff Levering.
Hilarious is strong.
Okay.
It was good.
It was chucklesome.
It was good. Hilarious. I don't know.
You know who's hilarious? Jeff Levering. He's going to join us next. Level. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Brewers Fever, catch it. Joining us now, the designated hitter on Chapman University's 2003 Division III National Championship team. They called him Levo on that team too, I'm sure. Maybe the most excitement he's seen in baseball since the Rancho Cucamonga Quakes were lighting it up back in 2005. It is the great Jeff Levering, who every time we call is dumb enough to agree to come on the show. Hey, buddy, how are you?
Hey, I mean, your intros, Wildy, are just second to none. Let me tell you, throwbacks to 03 in Appleton, Wisconsin, even Rancho Cucamonga, which currently was, I mean, They called it the epicenter, the ballpark, because there was an earthquake virtually every single day in Rancho Cucamonga, California, because it's on the fault line. How about that?
That is, it is incredible that you have such a storied career. But I'm guessing that of all the things you've done already in your young career still, although not as young as you used to be when we first got to know you, nothing quite like what you're calling right now. What the hell is going on out there? It's amazing.
I said it in the call yesterday. Unfreaking believable. I wanted to say something else, but then I wouldn't be working today. So the thing is that I've never seen anything like this. And you have to almost think it's cosmic, the way that things have been going. And it's not just a fluke. It's not, this has happened for a week and, oh my gosh, the team is playing so great for a week and then the other shoe's going to fall off. The team has been playing like this since May. So for people to think that this is a fluke thing and that this is not who this team is, I think they're delusional. I've never seen anything like this before. And if you ask anybody in that front office, if you ask anybody in that clubhouse, they'd say, this is crazy, right? They're just riding the wave. And that's the thing, is that this team realizes what's happening, but they just show up for each other every day. And they're pulling for each other. And they love each other. And they only made a couple of very small moves at the trade deadline because these are the guys that they wanted to go into battle with. And it's been an unbelievable run. I've never seen anything like this. And like I said, it's almost cosmic the way that everything is kind of coming together over the last couple of months. And there's still plenty of time left and more unbelievable things that I'm sure we'll see.
Jeff, when you think back to, and I joke about Rancho Cucamonga, but you've been doing this for over 20 years now, right? Like, the only thing that I keep thinking of is like Moneyball, where the A's win 20 in a row, because they haven't won 20 in a row, but they won 11, and now they've won 9 in a row. Like, this is pretty wild. I'm wondering, at any point, because you know baseball, sometimes there is a regression to the mean. And to me, my only question about what they're doing now is when there is that little bump in the road, which may be coming between now and September, what makes this team better equipped to deal with it, put it behind them, and then get back to being good? Because you know baseball's gonna bite you at some point, even if it's only hopefully for a brief time.
Sure. I mean, it bit the Brewers for the first 7 weeks of the season, right? So you learned a lot from that time. You learned a lot from how you can play and how you can band together, and the ingredients to the soup are pretty much the same as what they were at the beginning of the season. I think that they have the depth to withstand something like that now, especially on the mound. They've got guys down in the minor leagues. I know Logan Henderson got hurt, but you're going to get Miz back. You have Chad Patrick down in the minor leagues that can help you out if you want to. Some pieces in the bullpen, but this offensive group has been pretty much the same all season long. I just think that this team is so resilient, and you could even look back to when Brandon Woodruff came back, that started in Miami. The team is 24-4 since he came back. 24-4. I mean, that just doesn't happen in today's world. And you mentioned the A's, the Moneyball era. They win 20 straight games. This is a bigger stretch. And I just think that this team is so resilient. They don't lose 3 games in a row very often. They haven't done that since May. I mean, it's an incredible group of players when they band together. And if something goes AWOL, it's not going to take long for them to get it right back together and right the ship.
Yeah, so, Levo, yesterday, you're on this streak. You have the great play Friday night to walk off, and then Saturday with the big win. It just seems like human nature would be, it was a mess to get into the stadium yesterday. You fall back 5-0. And yesterday was just a great example of guys not giving in. And that's a hard thing to do when you play 162 games. As you're watching it, was it after Contreras hit the second home run that you started thinking, okay, or was it from the jump, even down 5-0, did you think, this team just won't give an inch to anything?
I think it was in the inning where they scored the 3 runs. So you had Contreras' first home run to make it 5-1. And once you got that first run, I think it was, okay, he started to build that momentum. And then Ortiz got the two-out, two-strike single through the left side to make it 5-3. That's when I think it started to kick in. And the Mets have played that game so long, for the last 2 weeks, right? They've blown some leads. They're playing really bad. And as soon as that doubt crept into their minds, I think game was on for the Brewers. So for me, it was the Ortiz two-run single in the fourth inning to make it 5-3 that everybody started to believe. But again, the Brewers have played that game so many times, and to see as many people into the ballpark as there were yesterday, with as crappy as the situation has been in Wisconsin, and I hope everybody's doing okay. I mean, I got home last night and I ripped up my basement. It was soaked, and my neighbors came over and helped me out and pulled out my entire carpet, and I'm sure it was... I'm really lucky that that was the minimum that we've had, and we're still drying out down in the basement. A lot more people are dealing with a lot of worse situations, so we're all thinking about everybody. But the fact that there was many people that showed up at the ball game yesterday, and not just showed up early. I pulled into the ballpark 11 o'clock because I was dealing with stuff in my basement, and the parking lots were packed. Because people want to see this team play. And I think that shows a lot about the fan base. It shows a lot about what this team is doing right now to galvanize this community. And it's going to be a hell of a summer and a hell of a fall, I think, in Milwaukee.
So, Jeff, if you had a – it's tough to pinpoint this thing, but what – besides Jesse calling for Pat Murphy's job in May – what has been the big thing that has sparked
really
this team to do the unthinkable things that we've been seeing him do?
Jesse really called for Pat Murphy. Get out of here.
He did.
All right. Yeah.
He wanted to talk about it.
Do we really have to do this again? In fairness to Jesse, because Levo, by the way, does everyone call you that or just Tausch?
No, that's it. I mean, it's becoming more commonplace. There were some
guys in the radio booth.
Yeah. I mean, that was – nobody knew – my family didn't even call me Jeff for a long time. They just called me Levo. So, I mean, that was forever.
Right,
and it started to catch on. But, Jesse, go ahead. You can have your moment. Defend yourself.
I've had more than enough of these questions. So we were at one of our teammates here, Pablo Iglesias. We were at Pablo's birthday bash the night of the cribbage board giveaway against the Twins, where the Brewers lost.
Yeah. Great
tough,
giveaway,
tough
by
night. Great, best giveaway in the history of the franchise. And – they lost pretty bad that game, and I turned to the group we were with.
Yeah, I called that game.
Yeah, I was there.
I called that game.
I said, guys, they're in fourth place. They can't do anything right here this year. At what point do we need to start to think about having a conversation about Pat Murphy? You know, we never had a manager of the year that we had to ask that question about before, and. Since that moment, they've been the hottest team in baseball, and now have they're tied for the largest division lead in the game.
I'm pretty sure, Jesse, that was the genesis of the "we need to find our edge" conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And they got shut out. They had been shut out like four times that week. They got shut out that night. That was a Pablo Lopez start by the Minnesota Twins. I remember I called that game with Adam Wainwright on Saturday, and then on Sunday, what happened? The Brewers snapped the Twins' 13-game winning streak, and since that day, the Brewers have been ungodly good. So, you know what, Jesse? Give yourself some credit. Maybe you are the guy,
Jesse,
that created this situation.
You're welcome,
pat yourself
everyone.
On the back. Yeah. Take one of those St. Louis Cardinals extendo arms to pat yourself on the back. That's what you need. So, way to go, buddy. Thank you for finding the edge for the Milwaukee Brewers, Jesse.
Thank you for your service.
You, sir, did it.
So, beyond that, in addition to the difference that Jesse made with his asinine question,
I think I'm vindicated
What else has caused this, do you think?
Not vindicated, Jesse, never. I think it's they found out who they were, right? They were at the bottom of the barrel. They had already had two team meetings at that point. You're learning how you're making silly mistakes on defense. You're making base running mistakes, and some base running mistakes still exist. But they found out who they were, right? And I think they accepted who they were more than anything else. They said, okay, guys, this is what we got. And we're either going to turn this thing around or it's going to be a tough year. And I think at that point, they accepted who they were, and they went out, and they have balled ever since. They've pitched it great. They've played unbelievable defense. They have tightened things up. You know, it's almost like the scene from Knocked Up, right, where they had the two producers talking to the talent. And they go, we can't ask you to lose weight, but let's tighten it up, right? They tightened it up. It's exactly what they did. They have tightened this thing up, and it has been so fun to watch. And I think everybody in Major League Baseball is looking at the Brewers and going, who the hell are these people? Why is Isaac Collins the number two hitter and three hitter? What is going on here? This doesn't make any sense. But they're still winning. They are winning baseball games and making people so frustrated with the way that they do it that when they're done playing the Brewers, they go, thank God we're done with these guys. I'm so glad we don't have to see these guys anymore because they are pests.
Jeff, I was watching some of baseball tonight after the Brewers win yesterday, and some of the national guys kind of looked at it and said it wasn't a money ball approach, but it was kind of the Brewers maybe are ahead of the curve when it comes to some of the new rule changes where it's easier to steal bases. Defense has always been important, but without the shifting and being able to do that, mm-hmm. that's something that maybe Milwaukee has gotten a little bit of an edge on, and they've really played to those strengths in their game plans.
That's who they have to be, though, Tausch. I mean, they have to win the little things. They have to do the little things perfectly every time. You know, when we got to the trade deadline and the whole conversation was about, well, they need to go out and get a slugger because they don't hit for enough power and all these things. And in the playoffs, it's going to be harder to string three and four hits together and all these different things. That's fine. Now the Brewers are slugging, right? They've been slugging for the last couple of weeks. But at the same time, they've done the little things so well for so many years. It's not just this year, but they have dominated the little things. And that's what you have to do. You have the people and the personnel that buy into that, that have almost been afterthoughts from other organizations, and they're hungry. Pat Murphy talks about being hungry all the time, and it's not just the pocket pancakes, right? Can we be done with that, by the way?
Nice.
We're done.
Nice.
But nonetheless, you have to be hungry and play with a chip on your shoulder. Those are the guys that Murph loves. Those are the guys that the Brewers have. And it's been great to watch the way that this team plays. But you have to buy in. And I think everybody in the system has bought in.
Levo, you don't like the pocket pancakes? That's not your deal?
I mean, I'm all right with it. But the thing is that he's been doing that for 10 years. This is not a new phenomenon. This is not new. Adam McAlvey wrote about this in spring training 2 years ago. Like, look it up on MLB.com. This is not a new phenomenon. He's done pocket egg rolls before, and I feel bad for the laundry guy who's got to get that grease stain out of your pockets. Yeah, dude. Think about an egg roll in your pocket for 5 innings. And then, oh, hey, by the way. He's done it all. Pocket
Jeff,
bagels.
We had this discussion when the pocket pancakes came to light on that. I think it was a Friday night game.
What is
the worst food? First off, have you had pocket food before? I don't sense you're a pocket food guy, but I could be wrong. And I think sushi, obviously soup can't do it. You can't do soup. What is the worst food that you can't have pocket soup? What would be the worst food to be pocketable, in your opinion?
The pocket food that I could do is like mints and like a Werther's caramel, right?
Sure.
That's more the pocket food of my variety. I think a toffee. In most humans, I think that's acceptable. Worst pocket food? I mean, it would have to be like a pocket 7-Eleven rolled hot dog. You want to go with that? Because those things have been on there for 5 years to begin with. So you don't know. Okay. You got Petrified Forest on the roller. You don't know how long those things have been on there. So,
anything sticky, right? Like grilled cheese would be a problem.
I think sushi is going to break up. I just don't think sushi, raw fish, I don't think that's going to be good in pocket. That's a pocketable food.
Tausch has loved his pocket sushi joke now ever since the pocket
pancakes.
It's
not a joke. I legit think it's the worst pocketable food.
Okay, but again,
rice. There's the rice is going to break up anyway. You can't do that.
Yes, and you got a pocket full of rice.
How about some pocket hash browns? What about that? You want some of those?
I think that could hold up.
I think
pocket hash browns are holding up. If you have it like at certain restaurants where they're formed in one patty, and if it's just off the grill, yeah, then that's a mess, no doubt.
Okay.
All right, Jason.
What do you think the people at Hot? What do you think the people at Hot Pockets feel right now? By the way.
Oh, they got to think
they're feeling good.
We need to have an endorsement with Murph. Shouldn't that be a natural endorsement? I don't know what they're doing.
Cheese,
get on
ham
it.
And cheese Hot Pocket. Yes. Let's roll.
Yes.
I think they've already got a deal with Jim Gaffigan, though.
That should be done. All right, last one for me. Let's get back on baseball because I know Jason is a baseball fanatic right now. I did not know. So this pitch clock thing has been fascinating. I think it's been good getting the game moving. But I had not seen what we saw. I think that was Saturday night, right, with Contreras, where he hits the lazy fly ball, and he says to the ump, no. Can you explain how that all comes about? Is that because to me now, if I hit something I don't like, I'm going to yell back to the ump. I just want to understand this better with the pitch clock.
Yeah, so the pitch timer violation, I mean, it's almost like the play clock in the NFL, right? So there aren't the decimals after it hits zero. It's just one to zero, and zero happens, and then the umpire gets buzzed when it gets to a zero. So I think Contreras, because he can see the pitch timer out of his peripheral vision as he's looking at the pitcher getting into a set and ready to pitch, and he makes and he hits a rocket to right field. But it was down to zero, and he goes, hey, listen, the pitch timer went down, and the home plate umpire must have been buzzed. Now, in that circumstance, I would love to see an umpire get on the microphone and go, pitch timer violation, it's a one ball, no strike count. That's instead of just letting it ride and letting everybody guess. I know the TV broadcast thought it might have been a potential catcher's interference, which in that case, he'd be at first base anyway. He wouldn't get the at-bat over again. So pitch timer violation, very next pitch, whack, see you later. And a huge difference-making play. But it's a timing thing, right? And umpire got buzzed, replay it, it's 1-0, Contreras, Yahtzee, see you later.
Talking with Jeff Levering, Levo, if you know him well. Couple things. I hope your basement does rally and you get everything straightened out. Thank God you've got Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin to protect the rest of your home.
Yes. Correct.
But I did have one, hardcore baseball question, and that is, how do you explain my favorite Brewer currently, Andrew Vaughn? His numbers through 48 games with the Chicago White Stockings, 189 batting average. Through 25 games with your Milwaukee Brewers, 348. His OBP went from 218 to 412. His OPS has gone from 531 to 1.041. What? Explain. Help me. Because this is awesome.
So I've got a couple of things. Number one, baseball-wise, he shows up. Murph says, I'm not going to give you a nickname. You just go hit piss rods. Go hit line drives. That's all I want you to do. Go hit line drives, get good pitches, and hit line drives. That's what he said. Okay? So it's plate discipline, pitch recognition, getting into good counts, and doing good things in those counts. That's number one. Number two, if you are on the worst team in Major League Baseball, the worst team in any sport, and he was in AAA on the worst team in Major League Baseball last year, record setting, not as bad this year, but still not a great team. And you get traded to a team that is immediately in the race, immediately in first place and grinding. What are you going to do as a player? Your game is going to be elevated no matter what. Because you're a part of something that you want to be a part of. You are on a winning team again. And I think that tells you a lot about Andrew Vaughn. Hey, listen, I got people around me. I don't have to be the guy. I got a fresh start, and I'm going to go out there and I'm going to ball. And that's exactly what he's done. It's exactly what he's done. And yesterday he hits into the double play in the eighth inning. You go, what the heck? I haven't seen this. I've never seen this before, right, where he didn't come up in a big situation. And he's going to continue to, he'll get out. It happens. But he has come up in big situation after big situation and delivered for the last month. And it's been a revelation.
Yeah, it's been awesome to watch. He's one of the reasons why I've jumped on the bandwagon. All right, last thing for you so we can let you go. And you said at the beginning, you used the word cosmic. Now, I'm always leery of this kind of stuff because we all, you more than anyone, given how closely you worked with him, loved Bob Uecker. And my thought is, hey, God, it would have been great if he'd have been here for this, as opposed to us talking about how he's looking down, watching how amazing this is. But for you, because you're there every day, how do you view the whatever this is, touched by an angel, touched by a plaid sport coat, whatever you want to call it, how do you view this cosmic aspect of what this team is doing?
I would be remiss if I said you didn't feel it, right? You feel it. And especially since, I mean, this last weekend I was on the radio call and we're surrounded by Bob in that radio booth, right? And it was in yesterday's ball game, Collins hits the homer and I have the call and I'm kind of like, you can hear it in the call. I'm kind of laughing, right? It's just like, come on.
Yeah.
This doesn't happen. I even said it. Who's writing this script? And I know a lot of people tweeted at me and have emailed, and they said, well, Bob's writing this script. And I went, it's incredible. And I looked over to my right, where Bob would have been sitting, and I thought about how he would have called it. I thought about him saying, how about that one, folks? Because that's what he would have said. And then Lane sitting in the seat where Bob's sitting, and there's a picture of Bob right behind Lane. And Lane was getting teary-eyed as I was finishing the call and going to break. And he just pointed at him and he went, that freaking guy. And I went, I mean, you're right. You're absolutely right. And it's something to be said, the fact that he was laid to rest where he can watch every single home game at American Family Field. You feel him in your heart every day. I mean, I'm in my office right now, and he's right above me, right? He's there. He's everywhere. And I think he's in everybody's hearts. And whether they're playing for him or not, or whether he's tugging on some heartstrings or not, some people said, you know, he had to go for the team to actually win one. We've got a long ways to go to get to that point. But I think that there's definitely a little piece of Bob that is narrating this whole thing and having a big part of it.
Well said. I just think back to Yelich after they lost last year and the emotion in his voice when he was talking about him, knowing what we didn't know on the outside that you knew on the inside too. And I don't, I'm not believing in angels here, but I do think that inspiration matters. And this is an inspired group, and it's been really neat to see. Dude, we love it when you have time for us. I understand you've got a lot on your plates and a lot of soaking wet carpeting in a dumpster somewhere. Thank you. As always, we love you, buddy. We appreciate you. Thanks, Levo.
Appreciate you guys. Yeah, everything's on my driveway. It's fine. We're all good. It's all good. Well,
nevertheless, as someone who spends a lot of time in the basement, that would have been a problem for me. So that is Jeff Levering. He is the absolute best, and we are so lucky to call him a friend. He's joined us. I remember the first time meeting him when we were like, we did the show on opening day from like, you know, the Euchre seats. We were in like the Euchre equivalent lot, right? We were like 3 miles.
A lot of wind. Very windy that day. Yeah.
A lot of wind that day. Yes, indeed, it was.
So he's been a great friend of ours, and we appreciate him a ton. That is Jeff Levering. You can hear him both on the calls on 620 WTMJ and 100.5 ESPN Madison when he's on the radio, and, of course, on FanDuel as well when he calls the games on TV. All right, we'll shift gears here a little bit, but Tausch, I'm sure that there were plenty of guys having a Coors Light to celebrate what we saw unfold yesterday.
Indeed, and whether you're tailgating pregame, enjoying your experience during the game, or just celebrating another big win after the game, just take a moment, chill, and crack open that Rocky Mountain Cold Coors Light, brewed with a three-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and it's cold packaged, so it is made to chill. Make sure those mountains are blue. That's when you know it is chilled to perfection. Celebrate responsibly, Coors Brewing Company, at Golden, Colorado.
More next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com. You and I start guessing, intertwining
songs. We were never stretching. You were right there all along. I lose my mind when I'm around you, how I cool. Thanks again to Jeff Levering, friend of show, remover of flooded carpeting. It is, I will say this, we all have friends in the Milwaukee area. I've never seen anything quite like that. And we hope everyone that is dealing with the damage and fallout of that flooding is handling it. We're not curing cancer here. We're not saving lives. But I hope we're at least entertaining you a little bit while you're trying to clean up after all the damage that's been done down there. Tausch, you're a good Catholic. I'm a good semi-good Lutheran. We have faith. What do you make of when we kind of talk about these types of things when it comes to sports? Because Jeff was pretty darn convincing, quite frankly.
I think that, you know, a lot of times there's just, you kind of said it with inspiration, it is that belief, and I think sometimes that's the thing that brings you together. What we've seen, 24-4 from a small market baseball team, we saw something similar with the A's way back in the Moneyball era, but obviously we saw this with Uke the last couple of seasons, and you could see how much the players and the coaches and the fans wanted it for him. And there is no doubt people that have faith, they look at this and will say, there's something bigger going on. Because it just doesn't make any sense. None of this makes any sense. And when that's the case, you're always kind of looking like, well, what is it? And I think Jeff did a much better job of any way I could describe what that feeling is like amongst that group. And that's really what it comes down to, is what is that group feeling? Mm-hmm. And there's obviously some big-time vibes that Bob Uecker and everything that is going on is a part of what this team is going through.
All right, so quick follow-up, because then nobody tells us about Quick Trip as well as you, not even Jeff Levering. In 2003, you were part of something that had a little bit of that feeling, right? Brett loses his father. You have that magical night in Oakland. Then you make the playoffs because of the crazy finish involving the Vikings in Arizona. Then you have the "we want the ball and we're going to score" from Matt Hasselbeck, and Al Harris picks him off. A few series later, everybody always forgets that. And it returns it for the game-winning touchdown. Did you feel that way? I mean, hopefully for the Brewers, it doesn't end the way that did for you guys.
So I'll say this. There is no doubt I felt that way that night in Oakland. Like, there was no way we were ever losing that game. Like, it wasn't. All of the other things, I mean, I think there was some residual, maybe, vibe. But I don't think it was, oh, we're a team of destiny. I think it was more of, we're really blank and good, and we're going to go beat whoever we're playing. And I think that night was a catalyst for that. But it wasn't as if we were sitting there going into Philly and playing Seattle thinking, let's win this one for Irv. I don't think, obviously there was some people that maybe felt that way. Mm-hmm. This was more of, we came together as a group in a really special way, and I think Brett's dad passing was the catalyst for that.
Sound graph. Tell us about Quick Trip, and sound I had coffee. Yeah, it was good. It was a sound graph, too. That was sound graph worthy.
Yeah, Levo's a sound graph.
Yeah, well, we could do two of them. Jesse's very savvy on social media.
I'm doing two.
Are you
shows
ready to
today.
Climb to the top this summer? Gear up for Quick Trip's Mountain Dew Quick Climb.
Wait a minute. What? Poor Jesse's doing two shows today.
Yeah, I'm doing Jim, Matt, and Molly all week this week. Yeah, busy. Busy guy around here.
What does that have to do with Quick Trip?
I don't have time to cut three sound graphs from today's show.
I told you, cut Levo's is great.
I got
like,
one
you can't
in me.
Do any better than what Levo did.
He was fantastic. And he's vindicated me from my Pat Murphy take, which is really
that's
the
exactly
underrated
what he
moment
did.
Of that interview.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right, back to Quick Trip.
All right. So am I doing this, or what do we got going here? I thought, were we teasing something out? I know I'm ready to climb to the top this summer. Gear up for Quick Trip's Mountain Dew Quick Climb, where every sip gets you closer to the summit. And through August 17th, which I think is the end of the week, you play every day for free in the Quick Rewards app, and you can score bonus plays with every eligible item that you grab. An ice cold Pepsi, a bold Mountain Dew, Gatorade, refreshing Pure Leaf, all the stuff that they have. You can earn two bonus plays in each week. That cash prize climbs by 5,000, stacking higher and higher until somebody hits the ultimate prize of $250,000. That is cash money. Open your Quick Rewards app. Start climbing. The view from the top is worth every play. Quick Trip's Mountain Dew Quick Climb. Your summer, your climb, your win. And while you're in the store, grab some bananas, some jumbo onions, some baked potatoes, 29 cents a pound, assorted chips and popcorn, two for $4. Quick Trip, we'll see ya next time.
The 11 o'clock hour starts in 2 minutes at 11:18. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.